Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 13. I'll read in your hearing from the King James Version Bible. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I read again. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men.
Dear Lord, we thank you for blessing us, bringing us together, and we ask that your presence is here. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary, and may you be seen, heard, and followed this day. In your name, amen. And so there's a very serious text, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 13, a very important text. What does it say? And it performed great signs, causing fire to come down from heaven in the view of everyone. Very important text. There's another text I want you to turn to, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 16. And what does the Bible say? Verse 16. And I want to read that for me, whoever's found it.
Then they gathered the kings together to the place that the Hebrew is called Armageddon.
Okay. They gathered them together at the place that is called Armageddon. I want to kind of pull back the veil today. And I want you to understand about this person that has been very much hidden in our world. We know him as the devil. The Bible speaks about this individual as one that fell from heaven and came to this earth, as it were. Tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, into sin. Plunged the whole human race into sin and death and unhappiness. And this same individual has been very careful to keep himself very much hidden from the view of mankind. And so he loves it when people says that, you know, or make those kind of fun comments of the devil with the red horns or whatever, and the fork, you know. Is he really real? Well, it's just the devil. And he's really clever at doing what he does. But we understand, the Bible makes it clear that one day very soon he will come back to this earth in a very physical way. We will see him. He will perform signs and wonders. And I want us to be very much clear that what we see taking place in our world today, even in our country, is a development of this kind of last great battle. You know, and let's not kid ourselves, we've had many wars in our world. You've studied wars in history. You know, we've had the First World War and the Second World War, and you know, we are a generation that have not really, especially in the UK, tasted that kind of war thing. Many that have gone on before us have lived in a war setting. In fact, if you go to different parts of the country, you will see the impacts of these wars. Bible speaks about this last great coming together, this last battle on planet Earth. All that is taking place in the world today is, as it were, a build-up to this very final battle. I want to ask you today, are we talking about a battle that is a spiritual battle, or are we talking about a battle that is a physical battle? Because I think as Adventists, we believe that we are talking about a spiritual warfare here. Armageddon is talking about that place where there have always been battles, but we're not talking about a real battle. I want to put it to you that you need to go and study your Bible some more. Amen. It's a good thing to be certain of what we believe. But I also believe that this battle, as well as being a physical battle, will be spiritual. I believe that there will be, like he is in our lesson study, we were talking about the devil trying to control our minds and make us feel that we can't leave those sins aside. And he kind of has this way of enslaving us in that sin. But I want you to know that he is also going to perform a real battle. And there will be casualties in this battle. The word Armageddon appears in the Greek New Testament, and it comes from the Hebrew word meaning Megiddo. It's a location where there have been many battles fought in this place in history. It's the town, a real town, called Megiddo, approximately 25 miles west of the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee. And as we know, there has really been no peace in that region of the world for many, many years. And what we do know is that the devil is very cleverly and secretly working behind the scenes, gathering together his army. And we are also careful to understand that because this is a future event, we don't think the battle has yet taken place in its final scenes. So therefore, we can't really prejudge or say exactly how it's going to pan out. But the Bible has quite a lot of things to say concerning this battle and the preparation for this battle. The Bible makes it clear that no man knows the day or the hour of the coming of man. We are all to make sure that we live every day as if it were our last. Bible also makes it clear in Revelation chapter 7 that the Lord is kind of sending these angels to hold the what? The four winds. And what does that really represent for us today? The strife is going on, a warfare is taking place, there is stuff happening that maybe we're not fully aware of, but God has sent the angels to hold the four corners of the earth. Why has Jesus sent those angels to hold those four corners of the earth? And the Bible says, until the servants of God have been sealed in their foreheads or in their hands. We never fully understand exactly how things are going to pan out. But believe you me, as we look in our political world today, we can see that things are beginning to shape up. Mm-hmm. As an Adventist, Adventists believe in prophecy. We believe that there are certain books in the Bible that are prophetic books. Which are some of those books? Daniel, Revelation, Isaiah. You know, God has placed within the Bible the answers to what's taking place in our world today. And if you are not a biblical student, if you don't believe in the biblical prophecy, then these things will kind of go over your head. You know, it's the kind of like the idea of there is this massive debt crisis in our world today, in the whole of Europe, in the whole of the world, and people are looking for it to kind of, we're going to come out of the other side. It's going to, you know, they kind of like look back to how it was in those days, and it's like they're kind of like weighing up that, well, it's just as bad, or it may be not as bad, or it may be a little bit worse, but, you know, when we come out the other side, do we think we're going to come out the other side in this one? Have we thought about that? We ought to be the leaders in prophetic understanding. God has not given us the prophetic word for us to sit on it and not know the times in which we live. The prophecies are there for us to know where we are in the time of history, in the time before Jesus will come. God has given us these prophetic insights so that we can be the leaders in warning a world that they must turn back to the Savior.
Amen.
Because all the stuff that's taking place is just, that's what it's about. You know, God is shaking the world. He's trying to alert the world to the fact that, turn back to me. You've gone far from me. You won't find the answers in Europe and the meetings that are taking place now. Be assured, we can only find the answer in Jesus.
Amen.
That's it. Standard. You know, Jesus was there at the beginning. He's there with us now. He's going to be there at the end of time.
Amen.
And so he asks the angels to perform that work of holding back the full fury. Because if those angels release their grip on the earth, then we will see commotion. Then we will see destruction. Then we will see no hope for mankind. But while those angels are holding the corners of the earth, they're holding back the full fury just so that whoever it is that needs to be saved will be saved.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
That's all what's going on in our world today. God could just say, release that stuff and let it happen. But he sees that there's someone in Cambridge. There's someone that is not yet fully committed. There's someone that has to get the word of God before he closes the door. Because, you know, God always sends a warning. He always gives a chance to mankind. He always wants people to have enough of an opportunity to just find Jesus. And so we are living in a terrible time. I may be smiling, you know, but sometimes there's a time that the smiling stops and we get serious. And I dare say that we're living in that period of Earth's history. And if we are going to be Christians, we need to be Christians.
Yes.
If we are going to be Seventh-day Adventists, we need to be living up to the standards of a Seventh-day Adventist. Today, there is a midnight mentality in our world. There is no real hope out there. Every corner of the earth that you go, it's just fragile. Nothing is stable today. The economic strength of countries are being challenged. And even if they may make us feel that, you know, Germany has it under control and Germany and France has it under control, and believe you me, they're all fragile today. Because they're all trying to grasp something solid. But we can only find that in Jesus.
Amen.
And so Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12, the Bible says this. the angel poured out on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Verse 13. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Verse 15. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. And then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And so, just like you may think of one of those Hollywood movies, you know, it's very interesting when you see a lot of these movies in these last 5 years or 10 years, maybe last 5 years or so, it's been very influenced on this kind of a setting. Have you realized that? All is, you know, about the end, you know, about battling with people from out of space. You know, this whole concept of Armageddon is really played out time and time again in the movie scene. But what about reality? What do we really know about the final scenes of Earth's history? Well, considering these verses we've read, these are some of the key points that are found in Adventist thinking. Number one, that this text that we have read is still a future event. It hasn't happened yet. We're not at that place where we could say the Battle of Armageddon has begun. Point number two, the battle of that great day is a battle that God will be victorious over. So the battle is going to rage, whether it's a physical or a spiritual battle. Casualties will happen. There will be some real physical warfare going on, I believe, as well as a very spiritual warfare. Point number three, the great river Euphrates is symbolic of human beings, and the kind of, as it's kind of stating that this river dries up, it's as if saying that, you know, the spirituality of the world is drying up. You know, there were times where we would be, you know, closer to Jesus. But in these days, it's like you can't find people that are close to Jesus. The kind of idea of the Spirit of God being gradually withdrawn from the earth. Because, you know, these are not things that we are unaware of. As Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that there is going to be a time when the Spirit of God is what? Withdrawn. Which means what, really? What does that really mean? When we say the Spirit of God is being withdrawn, or will be withdrawn, what do we actually mean? Evil, you know, when we see what's taking place in our world, understand that it's the Spirit of God that allows mercy to be upon us. So when things happen, it doesn't happen in its fullness, it doesn't happen all the time, because God's mercy is there trying to make sure that His will is still done. But when the Spirit of God is withdrawn from the earth, then which spirit is left here? You know, when the Spirit of God is withdrawn from the earth, why does that happen? Because he has said to the angels, release your hands from the four winds. And when would he say, release his hands, you know, when would he give that command to the angels? When that last person has decided to follow Jesus. You know, when there is no more good left on the earth. And I find that hard to kind of comprehend. You know, because there's always good people, surely. But this prophetic word seems to give us the understanding that when the Spirit of God is withdrawn from the earth, that basically means that the work of the Spirit is done. The work of God is done. Mercy is done. Probation is over. And there's that kind of awful period when, if you study the book of Revelation, it tells you that there will be no pronouncement made on the world when that happens. So there's not going to be some kind of like trumpet call, the end of time is... No. It's like, it happens in heaven, and that's it. Continue on doing what you're doing. Because remember, there's a parallel to that. Where's the parallel to that story? You guys know. You guys give all the answers, man. Noah, do you remember that one? What happened? Someone explains. I know you guys know it. The door was closed. What is that? What? Yeah, so the door was closed. Yeah. So the door was closed, but rain didn't come straight away. So there's a parallel there. Because we know that's how God works. He teaches us things. Generation to generation keeps it going, just so that we can understand it. Every generation will have the same chance. So when the door was shut on the antediluvian world, rain didn't come straight away, but probation was over. And they were still going around outside the ark, laughing and joking and thinking that things were great, and they were doing their business as they would normally do. Unbeknown to them, that probation was over. In the very same way, in this world, in our time, most probably, you know, probation will close and there will be nothing on earth for us to know that anything has happened. But those that are clever, those that are close to Jesus, when Jesus moves, they move. You know, when Jesus gets serious, they get serious. When they study the Word of God and they study it with God and they know that we're living in these serious times, then they clean up their act and they say, okay, this is it. Because when Jesus moves, they move. Because they are following the Lamb. This war will take place after, we believe, the close of probation. Check it out for yourselves. Study that book. Get your commentaries. Get your Spirit of Prophecy parallels and understand exactly what's being said in this book, Revelation 16. These individuals, these three spirits are the kind of coming together of all this religious apostate religion, you know, the kind of apostasy, you know, wrongful understanding of truth. Mixed up the truth with error, you know, mixed up with the kind of political nature of what's taking place in our world, and all of those things coming together gives us the idea of these kind of three unclean spirits. Preparations for the battle take place under the sixth seal. So, if we are biblical students, where are we in history in terms of the seal? Where do we sit? This present history, this present generation. Adventists would say, we are between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. Agree? Who disagrees? Okay. So if we are between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, what is it that happens when the seventh seal is opened? I mean, that's pretty much the coming of Jesus, isn't it? I mean, it's finished. And if we live, we say, between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, how close do you think we are to the coming of Jesus? Is there any major things left to happen in Adventist mindset before Jesus comes? Because, you know, we like to look for signs before we get ready. You kind of think, well, got a bit of time, so this is going to happen, that could happen. And maybe if we look like, you know, we can think about what are some of the things traditionally as Seventh-day Adventists. And if you're, you know, not an Adventist and you was invited here, you need to ask the person that brought you to explain this. This idea that we are living at the end of time. What are some of the things that we understand as reason for why we are in the end of time? What are some of those things that we talk about? We're in the end of time. And why do we know? What are we looking for then before Jesus comes? Someone says Sunday law. Okay, Sunday law. Anything else? Wars that may be happening already. Anything else? Economic difficulties, certainly. Disasters. Men becoming lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Breakdown of family life. False prophets.
Travel,
yeah. Increase in knowledge and travel. Men shall be, yeah.
Perverseness.
Changing the law of God. Wow, okay. There's a hand at the back. Lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. What about the seven last plagues? Have they fallen yet? Why haven't they fallen? Because there is this kind of sequence of events, isn't there, that we understand as Adventists. But, you know, I say this, I'm then going to go through that, but I say this because when Jesus came to the earth the first time, it was predicted that he was coming, right or wrong. But who was it that really saw and announced his coming? Wasn't it just those three wise men? Was there more people? Did they miss the coming of that first time when Jesus came? Many people missed it, didn't they? The point that I'm making is that, you know, because we understand in our understanding this kind of idea of how Jesus will come and when this will happen first and that will happen before, you know, let's understand what's happened in history. We always kind of get it a little bit wrong. We always kind of add up and it doesn't add to that thing. That's just a bit of advice. That let us not wait for those things that as Adventists we know. We believe that this will happen first and then this will happen next and then that will happen. And then just when I'll just jump on board before the final shot and we're all happy. You know, and we don't, it doesn't happen like that. We get it wrong. So understand that, you know, we, Spirit of Prophecy says that we ought to be very clear on our prophetic understanding of the last day events. It should be a clear, for an Adventist, you should know that. I should know that. Because that's why God has given us that understanding. So that we could be light, so that we can be light also to those that are in darkness. And so Armageddon gathers for a real battle. The gathering takes place under the sixth seal, but the battle itself is fought under the seventh seal. We understand, the seals are different times in history. You know, first seal was opened, second seal, third, fourth, fifth. It's a different part of history. Each of those seals reveal a different part of history. We are at the very end of that program, if you like, between the sixth and the seventh. Not much left to happen before Jesus comes. And so, understand, this battle will be fought with real people employing real weapons. Real weapons will also be there with the kind of spiritual weapons that the devil will use to keep us in slavery. There will be bloodshed, okay? And the earth, every nation on the earth will be involved. And eventually Christ and the armies of heaven will intervene to bring everything to an end before mankind destroys himself. And so I want you just to understand that we do not know what is going to take place. The event has not yet happened yet. But what we do know is there is a build-up. Right now, as we speak, there is a preparation being made, and I'm sure that there is going to be some kind of catastrophe. You know, I think when we think of the economic one, it's a biggie. But I dare say there's something that's coming that we haven't yet thought about that will come. You know, before these guys flew into a building, we didn't expect or think that could be something that someone would do. But from that time, the world has changed. And I believe that something, in fact, Spirit of Prophecy gives us a very clear understanding that there will be some catastrophe that will come upon the world, even worse than we know now. How can it get worse than it is? How much worse can it get before Jesus comes? My friend, today is the time for preparation. Preparation for the battle that is looming large. Know which side of the fence you're on. Make yourself certain of which side you stand on. Give yourself to the study of God's Word. Don't think it's just for spiritual people. You know, as a pastor, I'm careful to remember that I'm not here just to serve the spiritual people. I'm here to serve unspiritual people. You know, I'm not here just to be the pastor of this membership. I feel I'm the pastor of this area. Because this is our vineyard. This is where God will hold us accountable. He will say, well, what about those around you? Did you give them enough warning? Did you feed them? Or did you just leave them to just be hungry? You know, we are living in a time when we need to stand up and be counted. Who's going to stand? Do you know what I mean? That's our times. You know, we have to make our yes be yes. Because if it's not yes, don't say yes. It's best that you don't say yes. You know, if you're not going to be engaged in this warfare, then step off the scene of battle. Enjoy yourself in the world. Do those things that you want to do. That's my thing, because you're going to miss out twice. You know, didn't really kind of go all the way with the world. Didn't really go all the way with Jesus. So you never really experienced anything great. Just kind of like went along through life. Just that stuff that we do. Take a closer look at Jesus. That's my encouragement for you today. Take a closer look at Jesus. He's there through it all. And if we can't find Jesus in the stuff that we're studying, then maybe we're looking at it wrongly. Jesus is in everything. He was there at the beginning of time. He was there when we weren't. He's here right now. And yet still, he's working up there for us. Jesus is everything. Take a closer look on him. Because when Jesus says it's finished, you can be guaranteed it's finished. You know, when we say stuff, it doesn't always mean much sometimes, because we kind of like, with the best intentions in the world, we get it wrong all the time. You know, I'm definitely going to come and visit you this week, and I'm going to forget that. It's going to go over. Someone's going to come, and I'm going to just lose that promise. Jesus never does that. You can be sure, if your life is in Jesus, dead cert. Dead cert. You ain't going to be lost. If your life is in him, standard, you are saved. You know, Jesus has never lost a battle. And this whole battle, the one that we speak about, this final battle in world's history, you know, for Jesus, it's a piece of cake, man. Piece of cake, you know. It's kind of when Arsenal are playing Wigan and they beat them 4-0. Piece of cake, you know what I mean. Liverpool, Man U, Chelsea, we're coming after all of you, you know what I mean. Easy. Jesus has never lost a battle. Jesus right now stands in the presence of God on our behalf. So when we get this idea that, okay, we're in this world and it's messed up, and how do we even get into this mess? Understand that before we got into this mess, Jesus was making provision for us. He was making a way for us. He had a board meeting and said, listen, the world has not yet existed yet, but I want you to know that when it does, this is the plan for them. You know, and he named everyone by name. And he said, this person, and he named us by name. And he said, you know, I'm dying for that person. I'll make sure there's a way of escape for that person. And when he says it, standard. It's done. You know, I love the part of the Bible coming to a close where it speaks about heaven. And I just love this text in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm going to end on this one. To me, it's a very encouraging text. I don't know. Maybe a bit frightening as well. But the Bible says, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, at that time, Michael, the great prince, because Michael, we believe, is another word for Jesus, another name for Jesus. Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. You know, because right now, he's in heaven. What's he doing in heaven? He's pleading our case. He's kind of like taking our sins. He's making sure that we have representative in heaven. You know, because Jesus is a man as well as God. You know, and so Jesus, when Jesus stands up, and when Jesus says it's finished, you can be assured it's finished. You can be assured it's over. But then the Bible goes on to say, there will be a time of distress as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, thank you Jesus, that's everyone whose name is found written in the book of life, will be what? Delivered. Oh my days, you're not saying that with no power. Oh my days. When Jesus stands up, what does that mean for the world? What does that mean for those that are not Christians? When Jesus stands up in heaven, what does that mean? That means that time no more. Work is done. You You know, when the judge, who's been in the court seat? Well, no, you haven't been to court. All right. Who's been in this? Who understands the setting of a courtroom? You know what I mean? When the judge is there and everything, and you got the defense, and you got the other one, and you got all the people and the witnesses and stuff. But at the end of that trial, when the judge stands up, what does that mean? It's done. Case is done. It's been decided. You're either guilty or you're not. You're either free or you're going to go prison. Because that's the same thing that it means in heaven. When Jesus stands up, what does that mean? Time done. Case is over. It's been decided. The work is done. Oh my days, that is a serious text to end on. But I want it to be serious today. I want us to understand that this is where we are.
Yes.
This is exactly where we are. Jesus, who continues to work in heaven on behalf of mankind, will one day stand up.
Yes.
But it's a kind of double-edged sword, because, you know, when he stands up, it means, as the text says, that everyone whose name is found written in the book of life will be what? Delivered. Delivered. That means you can't be lost no more. That means you are forever saved. That means your battle is done. That means the devil is defeated. That means we won the war. We won the victory. Oh my days. That's what it means, brethren. Just let that fall on your ears, because that's what we have to make sure we get. Let us fall on that side, not on the other side. And so, who wants to stand and be delivered? You know, who wants to be the one to hear their "well done"? You know, you are free. Free in Jesus. Go and enjoy the pleasures forevermore. Do you want to hear that today, brethren? If you do, just stand with me as we dedicate ourselves afresh to Him, as we see Jesus, our deliverer. The Bible is real. Prophecy is real. We have a real warfare that is right now being prepared. But I want you to know and understand that your name today can be written in the book of life. So that when Jesus stands up in heaven, we will be able to be delivered. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for being our deliverer. Lord, we live in the most serious times ever. And we know that things will most probably get a bit hotter, Lord. But help us right now to make you our best friend. To make sure that we live with you, Lord. And we stay with you. Father, help us to make our calling and election sure. Help us to know for ourselves, not to hear from someone else. Not even, dare I say, the pastor or the elders or that person that will teach us. Yes, we need to, but Lord, help us to know for ourselves. Because we must all stand before that throne. Thank you, Lord, for your message. Thank you for the prophetic word that gives us light and insight into the times in which we live. And with all these blessings that you've given to us, help us, Lord, not to be cast away, but to just bring ourselves closer and closer and closer to you. This is why we have stood today, Lord. Please hear this prayer and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.